You know, when we get into the cold of winter, it's really difficult to see people huddled over garbage cans or sitting on the streets. Nobody likes to see that anywhere. But, you know, we live in the United States of America, and in such a land of plenty, it just seems to me like there should be no reason for anybody to be homeless on the street, that it's a failure either of our mental health system or it's a failure of our economic system, or maybe it's both. In Connecticut, I'm happy to tell you that according to the latest statistics, although we still have 3,000 people homeless on the streets, which is not good for anybody, we're a small state, but we've done a pretty good job. As of last year, 2019, we had over 3,000 homeless on any given day. But the good news was that that was a 32% statewide decrease from 2007. And one of the things that the Connecticut Coalition for Homeless attributes that to is a much better system called the Coordinated Access Network, or CAN, which streamlines access to homeless services and housing assistance for people who fall into that situation. And there have also been a 10% decrease in the number of people who use shelters throughout 2019, and overall a 40% decline since 2012. And I can see this in my job as probate judge. I can see the ways in which supervised housing for people that would so easily be homeless are really the secret, the linchpin. Because if, for example, I'm committing somebody to a local psychiatric ward, I always ask about the discharge plan. And very often people who are there for schizophrenia no longer have any family or friends who are willing to house them. And so the hospital sometimes will look at me with scared eyes and say, well, Your Honor, after he leaves the hospital, there is no discharge plan. He's going into a homeless shelter. At which point we have the conversation about, no, that's not acceptable to the court. What are we going to do about that? And then we bring in social workers and team people, and we come up, we brainstorm at the hearing, at the commitment hearing, for what is going to be a reasonable discharge plan, what is the waiting list, what is the interim waiting list, if the hospital can keep somebody sick another week or two to wait for a housing opportunity, will they be able to stretch their resources to do it? And we have that conversation because that's one of the loopholes in the system in which people become homeless as a result of being discharged from a local mental health hospital. Well, if you have been in Manhattan anytime recently, you will see, and a lot of people are blaming, by the way, Mayor Bill de Blasio for this because it just seems so evident between the Bloomberg administration and what we can see in New York City. But the reality is that we have more people homeless on the streets of New York City than we've had at any greater time in recent history. When you look at a map overall of this country, we have well over 100,000 in California alone that are homeless. And the latest map I saw shows that in New York State overall, it's 91,000. And nobody wants to defend that number. So joining us right now is a person who has spent his professional life devoted to trying to find solutions. Michael Fisher is with us. And Michael Fisher is somebody who makes his living and his life trying to figure out a way to help homeless people and to bring down that number. Michael Fisher, hello. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Can you give us your exact title? Who do you work for?
Well, I'm president of the Central Park South Civic Association in the city. So I'm a resident in the city, so it's more of a volunteer type of an organization where we focus on issues that impact our community. And I've really been working on this for the last couple of years with regard to the homeless crisis in the city. And you certainly have brought up some amazing points in addressing the homeless problem. I mean, in my opinion, whether you have, a small town where you have five people that are homeless or a city like Manhattan where you have 80,000 people that are homeless, I think that it's fair to say that we need to have a process in place that addresses the issue. In Manhattan especially, where you have so many homeless people, and in California as well, I mean, it is a national crisis. The big issue that we have is that a big percentage of the people that are on the streets are mentally ill. And so the shelter scenario doesn't really address the problems that impact the people that refuse to go into the shelters who are mentally ill. They won't go into these shelters because it's unsafe. They get robbed. So they prefer to either stay on the streets, go into sleep in the subway cars, which we have quite a bit of a problem with. People sleep with the homeless, especially the mentally ill that are sleeping in the homeless. I'm sorry, that are sleeping in the subway cars. You have people sleeping in bus stations, you know, especially since it's cold outside. And yes, you have quite a few people that are actually sleeping on the streets, where it's, you know, where it can be 20 degrees sometimes or even colder. And they just refuse to do anything to help themselves, you know, in terms of going into a shelter because it is unsafe. And what the city really needs to do, and the homeless problem has gotten worse because we're really not, we're basically, the de Blasio administration is basically just leaving them on the street. You
know, so let's talk about
that. They leave them there.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. We're chatting with Michael Fisher. Mm-hmm. Are there prior administrations in recent memory that did a better job than this administration?
Well, I mean, I think the last couple of administrations, you know, the Bloomberg administration, for example, I thought did a much better job. But the thing is that none of the previous administrations have really addressed the real, real bad issues. I mean, you can remove them off the streets, put them into shelters, or move them around the city, or you know, perhaps move them into other states. But you still need to address the problem, and that's the mentally ill issue that a lot of these people have on the streets. There is no real program in place that the city has, or that California has, or Seattle, or Portland, or any of these places where the homeless issue seems to be growing, and that is to remove them from the streets, put them into a program, and rehabilitate them. You know, I look.
Well,
at
there's
the
no easy fix. Let's talk about that, because the word rehabilitate is not, I don't think, the right word to be used in the context of mental illness. With all due respect, I really have a very deep understanding of this because probate judges in Connecticut have exclusive jurisdiction over hearings with respect to mental illness. And it just so happens in our jurisdiction, we have a psychiatric hospital. So Michael, I'm there usually about once a week. And I will tell you that the tools that are available to help people who have chronic noncompliance with medical recommendations are very limited. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're talking about schizophrenia, right? So schizophrenia, right. Unfortunately, an aspect of schizophrenia is a belief that you're not sick. All right. That's part of the disease. So
correct.
You know, right? So the delusion that people have about their, it could be that they're Jesus Christ or that they're you know, preoccupied with certain religious things. They come in a wide range of things. But whatever it is that they have a fixed belief in, you know, part of that fixed belief is I'm well and you're not. And you're telling me I'm not well, but I feel perfectly fine. And I like myself the way I am. And, you know, I don't need the medicine. So, you know, that's a problem that every society has to try and figure out in a society where we also want to respect people's civil rights, right? It's not given to easy solutions, and saying.
But there are people there's quite a few people on the street though that need drug rehabilitation.
Yes, yes, that's true.
They're on drugs. Yep. They have problems. There's quite a few of them.
Okay,
a bigger number you could ever think of. There's quite a few people that are on the streets that are, you know, that are alcoholics.
Yes,
that need to be helped.
Yes,
and that's, you know, I think, you know, you make a good point that sometimes the medication that you give people, like what you were just describing, can help. Sometimes it doesn't. But in a lot of cases with drug rehab and you know, alcoholism and everything, you can address those issues.
Yes, you can.
And
I've seen it.
Help them, and that's.
Yeah.
And we don't have that. We don't really have those programs where they go through a program, a process where they get helped. And then from there, they get, you know, they go through a program where they can actually go through training to help get a job and, you know, get back into the workforce, get into affordable housing. And we need to have some kind of a system in place where we do that. And I think the politicians have really failed us in that area. And I don't just blame de Blasio. I blame all of them.
Well, you know, we're chatting with Michael Fisher, 203-333-9422. We spend in New York City, and I used to live in New York City, but New York State as a whole spends billions and billions of dollars on social services every year. Not in the millions, mm-hmm. in the billions. So where's the money going?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I'll give you an example. The mayor right now has created a program in his second term, not in his first term. His first term, he should have created the program, but in his second term, which usually when they do that, that means they're kicking the can down the road. called the Turn the Tide program. And he's spending $1 billion to open up 90 shelters in the most expensive areas of the city, in buildings that are owned by slumlords, and buildings that in some cases are not safe. And he's spending on the average of about $5,000 a month per person to house them there. Now, most of the people that are being housed in these buildings are not the people that are lying on the streets. The people that you see in the subway cars and on the streets are not going into these shelters. Who's going into these shelters? Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, that's the question, right? That's the question.
Exactly. And that's where you see all this money, you know, being wasted. I mean, to me, I'd rather, first of all, rather than spending all this money on these expensive buildings that they're renting, the city's got plenty of vacant land. They've got plenty of buildings that they own that they're not using that they could easily convert into shelters and affordable housing to help people. But they don't. They could also create programs.
Well, because this way they can give nice money to real estate developers who can support political campaigns, Michael.
Well, he's exactly right. What's happening is a lot of the people that own these, the slumlords that own these buildings that could care less about safety, will basically contribute money to the politicians. That's exactly what's happening. The assemblymen, everybody, the councilmen, they give contributions to these people, and they basically
buy them off. And if you think about $5,000 a month, I mean, that's a joke. I mean, if you handed it in kind to somebody like that, they wouldn't know. I mean, that kind of money to rent an apartment, you could get a beautiful apartment anywhere. I mean, so we overpay as a taxpayer. We don't see the results. It's pretty terrible, actually.
Well, I mean, I think if I'm the mayor, I think he'd be better off focusing on the problem, which is in the streets. You know, we need
Absolutely.
To get these people off the streets because, look, the year is 2020. We have a good economy. There's no reason in the world why we can't at least help 30 or 40% of these people to actually get them rehabilitated and help them out and help them to get jobs. There's no reason why we can't do that. Think of what happens if the economy gets bad the way we're going.
Exactly. That's how I began talking with you about the fact that here we are in such a prosperous time and we're seeing more homeless people on the streets. It's not supposed to be that way. That's
it's
right.
Getting worse and worse. And, you know, some of the people that I look at that are mentally ill, I look at them and, you know, and I say to myself, you know, maybe at one time in their life, things were going great for them. Something must have happened. And yet the city just ignores it. And they defecate on the streets, which I think is a health hazard.
Oh, my. I mean, is that right?
We had some. They defecate on the streets. They're allowed to do it.
No.
I mean, we had somebody
no,
do it.
No, wait a minute. No. San Francisco allowed people to poop on the streets.
No. I got to tell you right now, if I went to a police officer and tapped him on the shoulder and said, look what's going on, he would say there's nothing I can do about it.
Oh, my. Oh. Let's
and
go. We've got a caller who wants to chat with. We're chatting with Michael Fisher. We're talking about the plight of homelessness in New York. Mike from Fairfield by way of New York. Hello, Mike from Fairfield by way of New York. Welcome to the show today. Hi.
How you doing, Lisa? Actually, I'm just in Fairfield for today. I'm just visiting some people. I originally was going to call you about the politics, but I'll talk about the homeless situation.
Sure.
The homeless, obviously, the homeless situation is incredibly bad. And I think a lot of it is really just mental illness rather than people being poor. I spend a lot of time in San Francisco, and you're right, San Francisco is like, it's amazing. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the numbers, so I can't recite anything like that, but just visually and having lived in New York my whole life, I don't think the homeless situation is as bad as it was 20 years ago. I remember 20 years ago, and I would be jogging in the park. The Central Park used to be filled with homeless people at nighttime because the city used to try to hide them. And then in the daytime, they would go into the subways. I see a lot of homeless people now, but to me, it was worse 20 years ago.
Well,
and again, I don't have any numbers.
You may be right.
I'm just visually.
I hear you, Michael. And I lived in the city between 81 and 87.
My God, we were close. On the west side?
No, at 300 Mercer Street. I went to NYU Law at the time. I loved it. But I couldn't walk through Washington Square Park because there were too many crack addicts and homeless people and scared me to death, and I wouldn't walk through there. So
absolutely.
It was much, much worse. But then it got better, and now I think Michael Fisher was on to something because I think what I'm saying is, and what he is seeing is, it's going back to the way it was, and nobody wants to see that.
Well, I definitely don't want to see it, and I hope it's just I hate to say the word negatively. I hope it's just hyperbola that people are always like saying, oh, it's getting bad, it's getting bad. But, you know, again, I'm hoping because I'm raising my family, you know, in the city and stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't know what you could do. I'm going to be honest with you. What can you do?
All right, let's talk about it. Thank you, Michael, for the call. Michael Fisher, let's talk about statistics. What are the rates of homelessness and have they climbed up recently?
Well, I mean, since Mayor de Blasio got into office, it's increased 17%. So you're looking at over 80,000 people that are homeless, which is huge.
And what are, do you think, some of the tried and true solutions? And remember, they're complex. I really don't think there are easy answers because all the answers involve getting your elbows into it and really trying to create. That's why I started out by talking about what Connecticut has done, because now we have the stats to show it. And there is a committed network of people that are out there that are trying to help. And there is a commitment now to drug addiction as well. And I think you're right. That's a very big piece, drug and alcohol addiction. How is society going to help these people get off their drugs and alcohol and back integrated into society? So what are a couple of solutions that you would propose, Michael?
So the last part of your question, can you ask it again because I didn't hear.
Yeah, sure. I guess what I'm saying is Michael asks, he's living in the city with his family. What do you propose? Yeah. What's the solution? Give us at least one.
Well, I mean, you have to start somewhere. You know what I mean? It's like politicians, you know, when they need to start somewhere and not look at this issue as something that they just want it to go away. And I sometimes think that the politicians don't want to deal with this issue because it's too much work and they just want to have quick fixes for it. And then hopefully it just gets kicked down to the next administration that comes in. And in the case of Mayor de Blasio, I truly believe that to be the case. But I think that what we need to do, what I'd love to see, since this is a national crisis, is I would love to see there be, we get different states together in a meeting with the federal government and really bring in experts and have conversations about how to deal with these issues. Because I think it's very similar in many respects, the issues that are impacting Manhattan and impact other parts of the country. And I think it's serious enough where I think because it is a national crisis that we have a meeting, we sit down and we actually have a conversation about it. And, you know, like, I don't even know, have you heard any conversation about it in any of the debates? I don't even think so. So I think that this is something where we need to have a conversation about it and we need to talk about it because it's going to get worse and worse. And, you know, it's scary. It really is.
Yeah.
If it starts to get worse and worse, you know, then you're going to, and people are going to the bathroom in the streets and et cetera.
Horrible.
It's not a very healthy situation either.
No.
I mean,
you're right about that.
If you look at California with the tents, I mean, they have these tents all along the streets, blocking buildings where people live in. There's needles all over the streets. There's everything all over. It's filthy. And at some point, you know, and I hate to say this, but when you look at the coronavirus, I mean, who's to say that we're not going to have something similar from that? You just don't know. And I think we need to take aggressive action to do something about it and create some strategy to deal with it. And I don't think we're really doing that. I think we're just doing the city is just, they're just creating shelters, buildings to put people in, but they're not doing anything more than that. And that's pretty scary in itself.
Thank you, Michael Fisher. Thanks for bringing attention to this. We appreciate your passion and advocacy, and I appreciate you joining us on the show today. Thank you.
Michael, my pleasure. Thank you.
Michael Fisher on the Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600 at 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.